be with you this afternoon. It will be a bit of an unusual message, and I borrowed this title. There's a guy on Fox News that has a segment every now and then called Seen and Unseen, and that's what we're going to talk about. And let me back up a little bit. Yeah, there it is, seen and unseen. And so, you know, that, even the slides are disappearing. So, you know, like you have an iceberg and you can't really see all of it, and there's a whole bunch of it underneath. And it's a little bit the same as Scripture. We have certain things that we see and that we're aware of. There are an infinite number of things in the Word of God that are so deep and rich, and we're not going to ever see it. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. But once in a while, the Lord will give us something. And I just want to give that example today as we go forward. Now, it's going to get, I'm just going to warn you, this is going to be a little different. And there's going to be a lot of things, and you don't have to memorize every single thing. Just kind of go with the flow, and you'll understand what I mean as we go forward here. So the theme today in this message is going to be sevens. The seven is called God's number because six is the number of man, or even 666, the number of man. The number of God is seven because there's a lot of sevens seen in the Word of God, like the 7 days of creation or 7 days in a week. By the way, the entire world, I was privileged to travel the world. I've probably been in, I don't know how many, 40 or 50 countries in my career, and everybody has a 7 day week, just like God established. There are many things the world does that follow the principles of God, and they don't even realize it, that they're on, whether they know it or not, they're on God's schedule. 7 days a week. Seventh is the Sabbath day. 7 year cycle in the Jewish calendar. The seven churches in the book of Revelation, seven seal judgments, and so forth. All of these and more places in the Bible, you will see sevens show up in the Bible. But there's a lot of places that sevens show up that we didn't even realize that they show up. And I'm going to give you a little background on this, if I could. There's a New York publication called the New York Sun. It started in 1833, and it's still going today. Now, it's not in print form, but when you go home, you get on the computer, you can look up the New York Sun, and you'll get today's news. You can get international news. They're still going. It's almost 200 years old. And in the late 1800s, in 1899 specifically, the New York Sun devoted a full page every Sunday for Christians and non-believers to debate the gospel. A little bit like you hear on Facebook sometimes. People get in an argument on Facebook. Well, you know, in 1899, they didn't have Facebook, so they used editorials. And people wrote letters to the editor, and people would rebuke them and so forth. And so Christians were trying to explain the faith in the New York Sun, and non-believers were rebuking Christians. So there was this argument going on. And finally, one guy wrote in that was not a believer, and he said, "I want to see proof. I'm tired of just, Christians say you believe or you're living by faith. I want you to show me some actual proof of Christianity, that the Bible is real." Now, God doesn't have to do that if he doesn't want to. We walk by faith, not by sight. What it says. God doesn't have, but God for some reason chose that he was in fact going to reveal something that up until, as far as I know, was going to reveal something that he never revealed before. And he used a guy named Ivan Panin. And Ivan Panin was a guy that was living in the United States. He was saved. He was a Russian descent. And he was a mathematician. And God spoke to him through his language of math. And so Ivan Panin wrote back to the New York Sun. This is the article you can find. This exact same article on the internet, if you're interested in reading. And he wrote, and he gave proof mathematically, that using sevens, that the Bible was true. And so I'm going to just present some of that today. So the things I present are not mine. They're Ivan Panis. I've condensed it. He's got books. He spent his entire life at this thing. He's got books. There is much, much more that I could show, and you could order a couple of books. I have a couple of them, and there's much, much more. But I'm going to skim the surface just so you get a little bit of a flavor of it. And we're going to look at, let's just turn to Matthew chapter 1. And I'm not going to read and go too much verse to verse, but I'm going to talk about Matthew chapter 1 for a little while here. So if you turn there, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 gives us the genealogy of Jesus, doesn't it? So verse 1, Matthew 1, 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then we get into something called the begats, right? Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and the brethren. And it goes on. And if you go down, just skim down if you would, that first several verses, it's all begats until you get to verse 11. It says, and Josias begat Jeconias and the brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. Let's stop right there for a second. So Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 is full of names, right? Full of names. And it's 11 verses, and it takes us from the birth, from Abraham until Israel is carried away to the Babylonian captivity. That's just a lineage of Jesus from that time period. The time of Abraham until the Babylonian captivity. In a second, we're going to talk about, I'm going to mention verse 12 to verse 17. Verse 12 to 17 gives us, starting from the end of the Babylonian captivity all the way to Jesus Christ. So 12 through 17. I'm going to just read verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, I read that verse because what does it not say there? It does not say Jacob begat Joseph, Joseph begat Jesus, does it? Because Joseph did not begat Jesus, did he? Oh, it's interesting. The Bible rephrases, this is not the message, just might as well point it out since we're here. The Bible rephrases it to make it correct that Joseph was he was an important guy. And God chosen. I'm not diminishing that. But Joseph was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Didn't even say Mary begat Jesus. She, of whom was born Jesus. I'm going to give you another something free. This is way off the subject. But in fact, Mary's, you know, when you have a child, it's the DNA from the husband and the mother, right? That, and the child contains half the genetic code from the mom and the dad. Did you know Jesus did not have Mary's DNA? I don't want to offend anybody, but when God, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus inside Mary, Jesus was a full embryo, Son of God. All human and all God. It's not quite what people sometimes think, but the only reason Jesus was 100% human is God made him that way, something our minds can't understand, but it wasn't from the DNA of Mary. Otherwise, he would have been conceived in sin and had a fleshly desire like Mary. Just, that's free. I could get off the subject there. Let me get back to this, verse 17. I'm going to show you some sevens in this verse. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. 14 is a multiple of seven. And from David unto the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away to Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Just interesting here. It's just an example of what God's doing here. From Abraham to David, multiple seven generations. From David to the carrying away of Babylon, 14 generations. You can get that Babylon captivity is an important milestone. In Babylon until Jesus Christ, 14 generations, all multiples of Jesus Christ. Just glance at verse 18, and I won't go any further than that, just to say that that's where we get the Christmas story as far as the account of Matthew. And this is the one really where the angel speaks to Joseph. I'll talk about that later on, but just so that you know it's there. So the first 11, let's go take a look again. The first 11 verses of chapter 1 of Matthew contain a bunch of names and the lineage from Abraham until the Babylonian captivity. Now, you can look all of this up, and I have looked up some of it just so I could be sure it was true. But what this mathematician did, he went back to the Greek. Of course, the New Testament, you'd probably know this, was written originally in Greek. And that Greek text, which was perfect, was translated word for word in the King James Bible. Word for word. It's a word for word. It's not really a King James Version. We call it that, but it's King James Bible, really, because it's a word for word translation. But sometimes the number of words that are used in Greek are different than the number of words used in English. It's just because there's two different languages here. So what he did is everything I'm going to tell you here, essentially, is the reference to the Greek. So you're going to see what I mean when we get going here. What he said, what Ivan said back to that guy, he said, you know, let me prove to you that the Bible is real. From Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, there are, as far as the Greek translation, there's 49 words. 49 is a multiple of 7, God's number. That's fine. One thing, probably, big deal. Of these 49 words, 28 of them begin with a vowel, multiple of 7. Of the remaining words, 21 of them begin with a consonant, multiple of 7. If you take the Greek letters that are in those 49 words that come from the first 11 verses of chapter 1 of Matthew, they have 266 letters. 266 is a multiple of 7. 7 times 38 is 266. Every time I do this, I check that one with my calculator because I can't do it in my head too well. Multiple. So you just think about that for a minute. If I gave you the assignment, we saw some young people up here earlier, maybe they're smart and they were going to write out something, or maybe some of you are editors or something, you're going to write something. If I gave you the assignment to write an article, and I said all the words must be divisible by, the total words must be divisible by 7, the total words that begin with a vowel must be divisible by 7, the total words that begin with a consonant must be divisible by 7, and the total number of letters that you use must be divisible by 7. Could you do that? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. But the Bible's like that. Let me keep going here. We're just getting started. If we factor the number 266. What is the number 266? That's the number of letters. First 11 verses, chapter 1 of Matthew, in the Greek is 266 letters. Now, we haven't had factoring since we were in the 7th grade, right? So we have to remember what that is. It's the factoring is something that when we all did it in school, we thought to ourselves, we will never use that. Ever. Why are we doing this? Well, here we are using it. So I was wrong. We're using it. Factoring is like getting something down to its lowest divisible number. So if we factor 8, if I factor the 8, I could say 8 comes up with 2 by 4 is 8, right? But that's not a factor, is it? Because 4 can be broken down. To factor 8, we go 2 by 2 by 2, right? 2 times 2 times 2 is what? 8. Can't be broken down any further. That's what factoring means. If you factor the number 266, it's a multiple of 7. If you sum those factors, 7 plus 2 plus 19, that's the factors, you get 28, or a multiple of 7. If you sum the figures, the 266, there's 266 letters. 2 plus 2 plus 6, you get 14, or a multiple of 7. Isn't it amazing? Of the 266 letters, 140 of them are vowels. Multiple 7. Of the 266 letters, 126 are consonants. 18 times 7 are a multiple of 7. So, I've added now 4 things to our rules. We have 8 rules. We got somebody that's going to write it in here, going to write an article for us. And the total words must be divisible by 7. The total words that begin with a vowel must be divisible by 7. The total words that begin with a consonant must be divisible by 7. And the total letters must be that are used in the entire thing must be divisible by 7. Plus, the sum of the factors of total of the letters must add to a number divisible by 7. No, God did all this. The sum of the figures of the letters must be divisible by 7. The total number of vowels must be divisible by 7. And the total number of consonants must be divisible by 7. Now, I know it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon after you've eaten, and it's a lot. If that was all of it, we could go home. But it's not. Now, when God wrote, I'm trying to get here something here. This is when God says He loves you, He wants you to know this is true. This is written supernaturally. And when God shared this, this information, He's showing us how miraculous it is that He created a text like this. Oh, we'll keep going a little bit here. Of the 49 words in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, 35 occur more than once in the passage. Multiple of 7. 35 is a multiple of 7. Of the 49 words, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, 14 of them occur one single time in the passage. A multiple of 7. So, 35 of them occur more than once. 14 occur one time. Multiple of 7. 7 of the 49 words occur in more than one form. So I'm giving you an example of that, like the form of word. If I say happy, happy is an adjective. If I say happily, that's an adverb. If I say happiness, that's a noun, but they're all, the form is, those are all forms of the word happy, right? So when I say 7 of the 49 words occur in more than one form, it's just saying it's the same word but has had different forms. Nevertheless, it's a multiple of 7. 42 words occur in only one form. Once again, it's a multiple of 7. So we add those saying, I won't read them again this time because I'll probably read them one more time. But we add 4 more rules to our work assignment. I'm going to give you 4 more, okay? 4 more. Of the 49 words, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, 42 of them are nouns, a multiple of 7. Of the 49 words, 7 are not nouns, multiple of 7. Of the nouns, 35 are proper names. A proper name is somebody's name, like my wife's name's Donna. Our church where we go is called Bethany. Proper names. Of the nouns, 7 of them are common names, like wife or church. So, multiple of 7 are nouns. Multiple of 7 are not nouns. A multiple of 7 are proper names, and a multiple of 7 are common names. So, I know it's a lot. We got 16 rules we're going to write. Total words must be divisible by 7. This is our assignment. Can you just imagine you had to write this? You had to do this? Total words must be divisible by 7. Total words that begin with a vowel must be divisible by 7. Total words that begin with a consonant must be divisible by 7. Total number of letters must be divisible by 7. Some of the factors of the total of the letters must add to a number divisible by 7. Some of the figures of the letters, six figures like 266, that's how many letters were there, must be divisible by 7. Total number of vowels divisible by 7. Total number of consonants divisible by 7. Total number of words that occur more than once divisible by 7. Total number of words that occur only once must be divisible by 7. The number of words that occur in more than one form must be divisible by 7. And the number of words that occur in only one form must be divisible by 7. The number of nouns must be divisible by 7. The number of words that are not nouns must be divisible by 7. And the number of nouns that are proper name must be divisible by 7. And the number of nouns that are common names must be divisible by 7. But why did I go through all that? There's no way this could happen randomly. No, you couldn't do it. No way. In addition to that, if you look at the next 2 points here, what did I say verses 1 through 11 is full of? Names, right? Names. You know how hard it would be to get all those letters correctly and the number of nouns and vowels and begins with a vowel and all that if you got a bunch of names? If I told you to write that using a bunch of names, it would be nearly impossible. Like my name's, you see what I mean? My name's Mike. My wife's name is Donna. And our children, my son's name's Jeremy. If you had those names in a lineage, you're stuck with those letters. So you got to work in all those rules being stuck with those names. You got all these names, and yet they all met all of the rules. There's no chance that this could be anything more than the Holy Spirit guiding this. And 2 Peter 1:21, we know that's the case, of course, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I could give you a lot more. I threw in just a couple more here for fun. 28, in those 11 verses, 28 are male ancestors of Jesus, multiple 7. 7 or not, multiple 7. Everything is designed by 7s. Now I'm going to move along here and just show you something a little bit different. So we've gotten through the hard part, if that makes you feel any better. It's written in Greek. And the Greeks used to assign, and still do, assign numbers to each one of their letters. So I didn't do them all here, just give an example. But alpha is 1, beta is 2, gamma is 3, delta is 4. Those on the left, that's the Greek letter. And then they gave them a value. And sometimes they gave them a value of 50, 60, 70, or 100. It doesn't mean anything to us. But that's what they did in those days. Just for information, if we take the entire chapter 1 from verse 1 to verse 17, remember now we've got the entire lineage here, and we add up all the letters, we get a total of 42,364 using the Greek numbering system. And amazingly, it's a multiple of 7. The total number of words valued according to the Greek numbering system is also a multiple of 7. I mentioned that starting with verse 18 in Matthew 1 is the birth of Christ. It's written the same exact way. 161 total words in that part, verse 18 to 25, birth of Christ, which is 161 words is a multiple of 7. The numeric value of the vocabulary, so that's the Greek value, is a multiple of 7. There's 105 forms of words, multiple of 7. The numeric value of the forms is a multiple of 7. And the total vocabulary used is a multiple 7. In the rest of the chapter, so the entire chapter is a multiple of 7. Remember when the angel comes up and speaks to Joseph? It turns up Mary's pregnant and is with child, and God did not warn Joseph ahead of time. He finds out later, and he's worried about it. He thinks about it, and the angel comes up and talks to him and says, "Fear not, Joseph," and all that. The angel uses 28 Greek words, a multiple 7. This is just the angel's words. 105 forms, multiple 7. Kind of, we got multiple 7 the entire chapter, and even the sentence of the angel is a multiple 7. Now, I'm not going to do the whole Bible, but just to tell you, chapter 2 is the same way. It gives us the childhood of Jesus. By the way, that kind of proves here, chapter 1, it turns out, how many chapters in Matthew? 28, multiple 7. Chapter 1, from beginning to end, all multiple 7. Chapter 2, multiples of 7. There was no remainder in any of that. If you know what I mean. In other words, it was much later when men divided the chapters. And every now and then you'll hear somebody say, those chapter divisions don't have anything. They're not really inspired. But in fact, they are. It's always cut off so that the chapter is a complete multiple of sevens. Every single chapter. The entire Word of God, I'm just trying to explain here in this afternoon service, the entire Word of God is inspired. God breathed. Total vocabulary in the childhood of Jesus, 161 words, multiple 7. Total number of letters, a multiple of 7. The total forms, multiple of 7. The numeric value, multiple of 7. Numeric value of the forms of multiple 7. Even the words of Herod, the Magi, and the angels are all perfect sevens. Amazing. Now, this is kind of interesting. Matthew, when he wrote the gospel, he wrote it under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and there's 42 words in Matthew that are not found, any Greek words that are not found anywhere else in the New Testament. 42 being a multiple of 7. Of those, there are 126 letters, a multiple of 7. Now, how could Matthew have known to use certain words that are multiples of 7 that nobody else was going to write? How would he have known that? Some people say, well, he just wrote it last, and so he did that on purpose. But the same thing happened in Mark. Mark shows the same thing. Mark actually is a small book. Let me just take, I could do the whole thing with Mark, and I won't, of course, but here's Mark right here. Total number of words, multiple 7. Vocabulary, multiple 7, number of letters, number of forms, everything in Mark, multiples of 7. Mark has one word that's not found anywhere else in the New Testament. One word. One Greek word that's not found anywhere else. And it's a multiple 7. The numeric value is 581, a multiple 7, and the sum of the figures is 14, a multiple 7. Even that one word, you can find the rules of 7, and that word is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. It turns out, so some people say, well, you know, Matthew and Mark got together. No, it turns out that Mark, John, James, Peter, Jude, and Paul, every single book, there are certain words in the 27 books of the New Testament. They have certain words that are not found in any of the other books, Greek words. Every single one of them has the same characteristics of sevens, not found in anywhere else in the Bible. I mean, it's amazing. Then there were some unbelievers that said, well, you know, that probably just has something to do with the Greek language. It's probably the way just the Greek language falls out. Maybe it's written according to a certain way. So I'm just going to do one verse in the Old Testament because I know we've gone through a lot and it gets repetitive. I do that on purpose. It's repetitive on purpose so you can see that God is infinite. And we don't even scratch the surface here. I'm not even scratching the surface in what I'm presenting. But if we go to the Old Testament and we look at Hebrew, not Greek, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and a little bit in Daniel and Aramaic, mostly Hebrew. First chapter of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In Hebrew, that is seven words, multiple of seven, 28 letters. Multiple of seven. Once again, we find that the Old Testament is exactly, it happens just exactly the same. In fact, the entire Bible, of course, is an amazing book. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 28 authors in the Old Testament, 9 in the New Testament. 3,600 years they started writing they took to write the Old Testament in about 100 years in the New Testament. Now, you just think about that a little bit. 3,600 years. So if a generation is 40 years, that is 90 generations. So if you had to write a book and you were the last one in your generations to finish the book, and 89 of your grandparents had started the thing, what's the chance that you would make it perfect? Can you just imagine such a thing? Your grandfather started something 89 generations ago and now you have it? That's just the Old Testament. I mean, that's what God did. And this Ivan Panin's work has revealed all of that. So let me go back to the newspaper story. What do you think the unbeliever... So the unbeliever said, I want proof. So Ivan Panin came in and he wrote a lot of these things and he proved that the Bible was true. What do you think the unbeliever did? Just like we talked about in Sunday school, he was offended. He was offended. He didn't believe it. No, he was because it's not about really proof, is it? It's about believing. We talked about it in Sunday school. It's about faith. It's about believing. Somebody might be here today, and you might see this, and you might be not a believer, might be unsaved. I hope it helps. But really, we have to believe by faith. So this God revealed, not really, probably God knows everything, but I'm humanly speaking, not expecting that unbelievers flock to it. But how do we use something like this? For believers... it should be an encouragement, shouldn't it? Well, for believers, we should say, you know what? I've got a God who can do something and proved it to us and gave us something here that's infallible. And we know, and we knew it anyway. By the way, I've known this, ran into this less than 2 years ago, I think, more or less. Less than 2 years ago. I don't believe it any more now than I did before because I believed every word of it before. But but still, this encourages me. Still, I look at this and I use it as an opportunity to praise God and to worship God and to say, God, you are high. I just feel led. Let's just close with Psalms 113. Just turn there, really. I just want to show you this. Psalm 113. This is how I use that. It's to praise God for what He did and what He is. You know the story over there in Luke where the rich man... died and he went to hell and Lazarus died and he went to heaven. Know that story? And the rich man looked up and And he saw Father Abraham, and he said, Abraham, you know, if I could get Lazarus just to bring me a drop of water, because I'm in torment down here. And this is a true story, by the way. That's not a parable. The rich man's still in hell today, still in hell burning, still wanting that drop, one drop of water for his tongue. And Abraham said, can't do that. I can't do that. And he said, well, okay, can you get Lazarus to go and tell my five brothers about Jesus? Because I do not want my five brothers to come down here in this torment. By the way, the guy that was in hell, the rich man in hell, he never told Abraham, never said to Abraham, it's unfair to me be down here, did he? He never said, look, I'm mad about it. He knew he deserved it. He rejected Christ and he knew he deserved it. He never asked to get out. He knew he deserved it. We all deserve it. It's by the grace of God, we're not going there if you're saved. And he didn't want his brothers to go there. He said, if you just get Lazarus to go tell them. And Abraham said, well, they got Moses and the prophets. That's a term they used to say, he's got the word of God. They need to read the word of God. And the rich man said, no, they're not going to believe the word of God. I'm paraphrasing a little. They're not going to believe the word of God, but if Lazarus would rise from the dead, they would believe him. And Abraham said this. You can always mark it down. He said, I'm going to paraphrase it. They're not going to believe the word of God. They're not going to believe it if somebody raises from the dead. Now, you might find that hard to believe, but they did not believe, the Jews did not believe. There stood in front of the Jews Jesus, the Son of God, raising people from the dead, and they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, did they? No, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We walk because we believe. So how do we use this? We use this as Christians just to praise God. Just to understand who God is and what He's done. Look at Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Would you look at verse 6? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. God is so high. So high. That to look down on His own creation, He has to humble Himself. You just think about that for a second. That's how high God is. And yet He loved us, and He cares for us, and He sent us this perfectly preserved Word of God. Every word true, provable. Doesn't have to prove it to me, do they? You, but it is. It's provable that it's God's word. I tell you, I just used to praise God and to thank God and to worship Him for being our God.